Caring for plants is not only an invitation to beautify our homes and reconnect with nature, but it's more importantly, an invitation to reconnect with our inner child and inner student. Connecting with plants triggers that awe-inspired wonder that came so effortlessly to us as children, but as we've grown up, it gets harder and harder to access. In my book, Growing Joy, I talk about how when we were kids, it was easy to go outside and make mud pies and go on imaginative journeys in our backyards through transforming mud pies into delicacies that you share at a feast made out of foraged goods. Right? But that behavior isn't tolerated as an adult. We don't get to use our imagination so quickly. Instead, we're scrolling on social media. And I think that's why so many people are attracted to houseplants as a hobby, because it brings us back to that childhood place. It brings us back to that awe. It brings us back to that visceral sensation of literally getting your hands in the mud or the dirt or the potting soil. So I say that plants are our figurative mud pies of adulthood. No one gets this concept better than Adam of Dirty Roots Berlin on TikTok and Instagram, a favorite creator of mine. And today we are lucky enough to be joined by him for a deep dive on all sorts of intersections between plants, creativity, curiosity, and more. Get excited and welcome back.
Welcome to the Growing Joy podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives. I'm Maria, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, an epic plant killer turned happy plant lady. On Growing Joy, you'll find conversations about plant care, plant community, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy, the podcast.
Plant friends, I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. Welcome if you are a new listener, and welcome back if you've been hanging around our RSS feed, hanging around our podcast for a while. If you're new, my voice doesn't always sound this way, and if you're returning, you might notice that I sound a little weird. I have bronchitis. I got bronchitis a week that I had to record multiple podcasts, so for the month of March, you might hear a little huskier, a little sexier tone of voice from me, but that's because I love you so much that, you know, I'm homesick with bronchitis, but I'm still turning out these interviews for you, so don't be alarmed. No one has stolen Maria and taken over the podcast. It's just me with some clogged lungs. But I couldn't let my bronchitis take me down because today's episode is so exciting. Adam, one of my favorite planty content creators, joins us today. He's behind the account Dirty Roots Berlin on TikTok and Instagram. If you're on TikTok, you've probably seen him. He's a huge account over there. You're going to hear me fangirl a little bit. You know, it's interesting. I have a completely different relationship with Instagram than I do with TikTok. I'm on both. I have an account for Growing Joy with Maria on both. You're welcome to follow on both channels. But Instagram is so much more curated than TikTok. And I find that there's completely different plant creators on TikTok than there are on Instagram, either that I follow. And I don't know if it's my algorithm or whatever, but like I engage with completely different creators in the plant space on TikTok than I do on Instagram. I don't really know why. I don't understand how these apps work. Adam is one creator that I found on TikTok, and I just was so drawn to his authenticity and his creativity and like kind of his weirdness. And on TikTok, I actually don't follow a lot of plant accounts. I follow most of my plant accounts on Instagram, but Adam is one of the plant accounts that I continually return to on TikTok because following him is just really refreshing. Like you just never know what you're going to get. And we have a really fun conversation today, not just, you know, learning about Adam and why he is the super curious, creative person that he is, multi-hyphenate, multi-talented person that he is. But I really wanted to kind of drill down on his sources of curiosity and creativity and try and pull some lessons from him for how we could use him as inspiration to kind of trigger our curiosity and creativity. Because, you know, I said in the intro, plants are the new mud pies. That's a whole page in my book on Growing Joy. But plants are this opportunity, yes, to connect with nature, but more importantly, to connect with our inner child and really allow ourselves to tap into that awe and curiosity that came so easily to us as kids and not so much as adults. And I think there's a reason why we all get attracted to plants because of that. It helps us want to learn and get curious. And man, Adam is curious. One look on his TikTok account, Plant Friends, he's always doing experiments. He's always like doing weird stuff with plants. It's awesome. You got to check him out. And you're going to fall in love with him in this conversation. So it's a really fun, kind of expansive, mind-opening conversation all about plants and the beauty that they can bring into our lives. So without further ado, I hope you love him. Adam, welcome to Growing Joy.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited because, as you know, I'm your fangirl. You're one of the only plant accounts I follow on TikTok. So I'm so excited to kind of get to peel back, you know, go behind the scenes and get to understand the Dirty Roots Berlin content creator. But also I'm excited because you're inspiring me. I had a meeting with myself earlier today.
Okay.
And we've talked online about, you know, you're not afraid of the F-bomb. You're not afraid to curse. And I think the only difference between my public persona and my private persona is that I have kind of a potty mouth, but because so many of my listeners listen with their children, I tend to not curse on the show. So today, it's like the 200th episode, and today it's the first explicit or, you know, curse-friendly episode, and I'm excited about it.
Nice. I'm excited. I'm honored to be a part of it, that's for sure.
Yes. So I'd love to have you introduce yourself, but you are the CEO of Leave It The Fuck Alone, which is a whole vibe, a whole lifestyle of plant care.
Plant care, and I think it ends up applying to a lot of more areas of my life as well. Yeah, it's definitely Leave It The Fuck Alone has kind of been my mantra for a few years now, mostly because I think many of us who are excited by plants want to do too much. And most of the information that's out there is, here are things you can do. And not to say that there aren't things that you need to do from time to time, but I felt like I was often just like trying to come up with things to do so I had a reason to interact with my plants as opposed to just leaving them the fuck alone and letting them sort of do their own thing.
Yeah, they're pre-designed. I mean, I've talked about this story a couple of times on the show before, but the first year I did seed starting, I was like up in arms about it. I was in a twist about it. I was stressed. I was going to do it wrong, that the soil temperature wasn't right, that whatever. And I called my mom one day, who's a really good gardener, and she was like, Maria, it's a seed. They've been germinating for thousands of years. Like, just put the seed in the dirt and relax. And I was like, oh yeah, right. This isn't about me. This isn't about me.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, I mean, for me, having these plants that I can leave the fuck alone, like I'm not a collector of rare or exotic plants. This isn't something that I'm particularly interested in. I want the plants that will survive on their own. And I think that there's nothing to say that's wrong with those, that people want those really special alocasias that are going to have spider mites, you know, 11 months out of the year. That's fine. If you, you know, those beautiful, glorious leaves are gorgeous. I don't have the time or the energy for that. And I'd rather have things that I can interact with in a way that's convenient for me, but still brings joy to my life. And those are the things that can usually take a bit of abuse and you can leave the fuck alone a little bit longer. So, it's maybe definitely not an approach for all plant styles or all, you know, types of plants, but it definitely, for people who want to have a lot of greenery without having to do a whole lot, leaving them alone and letting shit die is okay. You know, letting the strong survive is part of the process, I think.
I want to get into how, as an American, you've landed in Berlin and the growth of your platforms. But at this moment, what does your plant collection look like? How large is it? Do you concentrate a certain type of species or genus? What are you working with lately?
More recently, I've just really been trying to pare it down to the things that I'm kind of interested in, which is either large plants to fill a space or something that sort of tells a visual story. So I think the most recent thing that I've launched is this bee bath, you know, which has a bridge.
Love it. Obsessed with it.
I'm still looking for the like right characters to sort of fit in there. I have a dinosaur and a, you know, archer at the moment, but, you know, I wanted to sort of tell a story with hills and rivers or, you know, various different toys in a sense, but in a tray sort of penging style thing, something that can be displayed. I think the more I get into plants, the more I don't care so much about having plants just to have them. I want them to serve me. So whether that's beautifying my apartment, helping out the bees on my balcony, you know, which makes me happy, whatever it is. I want it to serve a function, not just have a plant to have a plant. I've done that now for so many years. I finally am like, okay, I want them to look pretty, or I can eat them, or, you know, they're helping out the bees or something like that.
Okay, so just because I know that you've recently been posting about this, and we'll make sure to put links to these videos in the show notes, this bee garden. Now, you're prepping the bee garden, obviously, indoors. Is the thought that you move it to the balcony for in the spring when the spring warms up? Like, walk us through the process, the inspiration and the process for the bee garden, because I've never seen a bee bath before on any form of social media. And I feel like that's surprising, you know?
Yeah. That's part of one of the reasons why I wanted to do it is, I mean, I'd heard of the concept. I've seen them. Like, I saw a couple of people who had done them, but the more traditional, just sort of a tray with pebbles in it so that the bees can land on something while they go to drink. So I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Part of what inspired me was actually, I have a 3D printer that was given to me, and I was trying to think of, like, why am I going to use this? Maybe I should just sell it. It's not really worth that much, but I could do kind of cool things. I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. And the one thing that always fascinated me about tabletop role-playing games was the, not just the miniatures, but the landscapes, the set pieces, you know, not just imagining the ruins, but having a little miniature broken down building you could play with. And I was like, well, actually, I could print those sorts of things, but I don't play enough Dungeons and Dragons in real life, and I don't run the game, so I can't necessarily determine what we're going to need. So I was like, how could I sort of incorporate the two? And so I decided to sort of start setting these stories up, and then I could, in the games that I run online, I can kind of bring them in a sense, like bring that story to life in a way. And I thought, well, I want something that's functional as well. And I thought, well, a bee bath is perfect, because, like, something that's got water in it, something that then won't take a lot of maintenance. I can fill it up when it needs water. And other than that, I can leave it alone, but enjoyable for me, but also then serves a function to helping out the native wildlife as well.
Yeah, I love that. Something that has always drawn me to your account and what I'm so excited to chat with you about today is your creativity and, like, your interpretation of this plant hobby in a very unique, refreshing way. I'm curious to learn how you got here. You're so creative, and you obviously see the world through, like, a different prism than other people. So how did we get to the bee bomb creating globe, like, CEO of Leave It the Fuck Alone? Like, how did we get here? Because it feels very unique. And, you know, the more I learn about you, the more I'm just like, what?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, I mean, it's been a long journey. And I think it started from the first plant I ever got in many ways. Like, it's reflected of where I've come, which is, I got a plant as a gift for being in a play. You know, instead of getting flowers, my grandmother sent me a yucca tree. And yeah, I had it for many, many years until I moved out of the country. It was a beautiful tree, but very shortly after getting it, I went away to college, and I took it with me. And my mom said that, you know, you need to fertilize it every now and again. And I was like, oh, I need to do what now? What is fertilizer? How does this work? And so I got a very basic understanding. Okay, you go buy this stuff from the store. It's in a plastic bottle. You give it, when you put it in the water, and you water your plants. And cool. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, the trees outside don't do that. And they're in dirt. And the stuff that this yucca tree's in looks like dirt. So it must be dirt. So why would I have to do that? Can't I just, I don't know. And so I got on this journey of, like, why do indoor plants need fertilizer, and why don't outdoor plants need fertilizer? And then you start learning about plant nutrients and nutrient cycling and, you know, cation exchange capacity of soil. It can lead down to some very heady sort of avenues. But I was fascinated of, like, how can I mimic what's going on outdoors indoors, so that I don't have to go buy another plastic bottle of something that took a fuck ton of energy to produce, just so that I can have this hobby of, you know, enjoying plants indoors. That turned me on to, like, people that were doing, like, living soil and, you know, making sure that there was soil biology and incorporating that sort of aspect and of plant growing. And I realized, once I started talking about this on social media, nobody else was talking about that sort of stuff when it came to house plants. they were talking about it when it came to, you know, medical marijuana, and eventually started getting into like growing herbs indoors or growing, you know, lettuce and things like that. But using this idea of microbiology to fuel the system was really a very fringe thing, only done indoors by people that were trying to grow a crop indoors because they couldn't grow it outdoors legally, right? So it was a this weird loophole as to why they were forced to do it. But I was thought this information was fascinating. I wanted to know it because I was just curious about the whole process. I had to sort of reverse engineer it for these non-crop producing plants that we ornamentals that we grow indoors. So I started doing that, which realizing nobody else was giving out that sort of information to houseplant people. So I started doing that. And through that, I just was always then starting to push the boundaries of like, how can we grow things? Like, how big does the container have to be? It's the larger the container when it comes to living soil, generally the better. The bigger the system, the easier it is to sort of maintain. But can we do it in a small tray that has no drainage? Where are the limits? You know, in nature, there are little pools that you find in a rock where just some debris has built up, and then a plant, a mighty tree may grow in there. And like, how can I do this without buying a bunch of stuff too, you know, and using my own waste? So that got me into vermiculture and, you know, raising worms and yeah.
That's some nerdy shit right there.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you got into plants with your grandma's yucca in college. Is your degree in biology? What did you study? What did you do professionally before finding plants?
My degree was in film production, filmmaking.
Yeah, which is why your videos are so freaking incredible.
It helps.
You have the most gorgeous videos. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the filmmaking degree definitely helps a lot now that social media is such a easy, you know, I don't have to go buy a $10,000 camera. I can do it with my phone or my... So yeah, I did all that studying on my own, but I'm fascinated by a whole lot of different aspects of life in general. So I was always sort of studying this on the side, reading books, trying to find ways to apply it to other aspects of my life, just because I thought that whole process, that whole life cycle is so fascinating.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you're in Berlin now. So what brought you to Berlin? And has your plant collection changed drastically from when you had plants in the States versus now in Berlin?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved to Berlin because I was DJing and writing electronic music. And Berlin is sort of the club capital of Europe, if not much of the world. And I already had some friends that were here doing that sort of stuff. So I figured, okay, cool, like... come hang out. And so I did that for a long time, and that was fun. My plant collection has changed a lot because when I was living in the States, I moved around a whole lot. So while I had lots of plants wherever I would move, I'd quickly start buying new ones. There was always like a few, such as the yucca from my grandmother, that I would take with me. So I'd have like maybe three or four really large plants that I would take with me, try to bring a bunch of the small ones, but the small ones didn't matter that much, and a lot of them would die in the process. But those were the plants that were usually dying anyway, because as any sort of young plant grower is, you kill a lot of plants. Like, it's just a lot of plants die. So those were the ones that would have probably been dying anyway, so I didn't care that much about them to begin with. So I was really focused just on the sort of larger plants, in a sense, in the like emotional sense, but I was buying a lot of small to medium sized plants. Nowadays, I don't really care about the medium to small size plants. I like the big ones for the display, but anything that I have that's medium to small, I'm trying to think like, how can I incorporate this into one of these setups or designs, or have it, you know, be a statement sort of piece, not just another. I mean, these are herbs that I grow, but I don't want pots like this anywhere else in my house other than on my kitchen balcony.
The designs that you're doing now, it's like terrariums. You're making like fairy gardens or terrariums. It's this concept of miniaturization, not to say fairy, but fairy gardens, I feel like, is what you Google on Amazon to find the little characters.
Yeah, it's a great way to describe it.
But it's like you're making terrariums, but you're just not making them in glass. And it is, it's a completely different approach. And I think, you know, hearing your story, it's interesting to hear that throughout your whole process, you've always considered nature. while you're caring for houseplants, because I think something that a lot of plant parents, houseplant parents, struggle with is they come to plants because they see Instagrams of homes filled with plants. Mm. They see this internal, like they come to plants from this internal approach, knowing them as houseplants. And I remember when I was starting, like, you have this aha moment of being like, oh my gosh, these monsteras grow outside in the jungle. Wait, what? You know, when I was in Costa Rica on my honeymoon and I saw syngonium, like what the syngonium looks like as a mature plant, it's a completely different plant. The leaf structure is totally different.
Yeah.
And then the syngoniums that we grow indoors, they're so gorgeous. You know, I think sometimes that's something that gets lost. I think that's why some people kill plants and can't get over it, because they don't understand that we have to try and replicate nature. And I think there is sometimes a disconnect with these plants that we're caring for, like grow naturally somewhere. And yeah, our apartments that are 60 degrees with, you know, my house is 15% humidity right now. Like no houseplant is going to be happy in that. I think it's cool to hear how you're constantly going back to nature and thinking, okay, but how does this happen outside? And then how can I mimic that inside? Even if it requires more research, it requires more experimentation. What about your globe? So you sell these really cool planters. Like, where did that come from? How is that going? What does that whole sector of your kind of brand look like?
That's sort of how the... why I started posting on social media in the first place, I guess. I've sort of monetized a lot of interests of my life. I liked music, so I started writing music and, you know, became a DJ. Or like, I liked film, so I went to film school and, you know, did editing gigs or whatever. This was one aspect I'd never really... it was always just sort of a hobby in a sense. I never really thought of like, oh, hey, this is something that you could... if you're that passionate about it and spend so much time and energy, you know, learning about, how could you make money from this? And so it sort of took a little while to kind of play around with some ideas, but this was sort of the first thing that really struck. And they're quite popular. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, to me, I wanted to create something that was, again, not just another pot.
Like, for those listening who might not know what the globes are, like, how would you describe them? What makes them different?
Well, they're sphere planters, for one.
I'm calling them globes. They're spheres. Yeah, sorry.
Whatever. A sphere and a globe are the same concept. Like,
circular.
They're handmade, for one. The quality is there as well. I make them from somebody who grows plants, right? So for me, it's really... there's some things that I've kind of put into them, such as like straining, you know, strainers at the bottom of the draining holes, you know, to stop excess soil from coming through. And...
and they've got this really cool, like, live edge. Yeah. They're really, like, organic, and organic looking is the word. Yeah. They look very organic, raw, nature-y, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the inspiration, the inspiration is, like, comets and asteroids, outer space. So they're all named after comets and asteroids. And I wanted something that was as beautiful as the plants inside. This was another thing. I very quickly got bored of... just another house plant. You know, I remember one of the first areas that I branched out into personally was growing pothos in water, right? It grows in water so easily. I was living in New York at the time, and I got one and I cut like every little node up, or had the tendrils at each little node where there was a root. I tried to put it into a dish of water separately and sort of go around my apartment. And I always wanted to display plants in a way that wasn't standard, you know. To me, I think part of just the way I view the world is that if it's something I see on a regular basis, it's not what I want to replicate, right? I want to be like, okay, how can I do what I see on a regular basis, but in a way that it's a slightly different take on it? Not to say that growing pothos and water was by any way unique. It was just unique to me at the time. I wanted the pots to replicate or to kind of be as beautiful. I wanted to display the plants, right? If I was going to have something, I wanted it to be a piece that was going to be like, okay, wow, you know. And not every plant that I own has to be displayed in that sort of display piece. Otherwise, it sort of detracts from it. But having those few sort of really handmade wow pieces... makes the collection seem that much more impressive.
Yeah, they're really unique. I mean, I haven't really seen anything else like it. And they are. They're this just like natural, spherical. They almost feel like you could find them out like in nature. It is very interesting how you've kind of created them that totally in line with your aesthetic. I want to ask you a little bit about curiosity in plants and how, you know, we can all as a community explore that. But I'm curious to learn a little bit more about your live soil. For someone who's never heard of this concept before, the living soil, can you give a couple of pointers or like, you know, where to start with how to approach that and learn more?
If you now search living soil on YouTube, I'm sure that there'd be plenty of great channels that'll go in depth into how to do it. To me, though, what I try to communicate is there's a lot of information, there's a lot of science there, but if you understand the basic concepts, you don't have to know all of the science behind it. Somebody else has already figured out all of the science so that we can trust enough. So the basics are what you need is you need soil biology to fuel the system. And generally, you don't want that system to get super, super dry. You don't want it to stay super wet either, but you want soil biology to fuel the feeding system.
What do you mean by soil biology?
So soil biology is bacteria, fungi, protozoa, okay, nematodes, microarthropods, all those microscopic critters that live in soil, also in the air around us as well. But in the soil, they are the main drivers of nutrient cycling so that plants can have access to the food that they need. Actually, not food. Food's not quite right. If plants were to eat food at all, it'd be sunlight to get the vitamins right that they need, let's say, those extra minerals. The way that the plant gets that in nature is soil biology takes the raw material, organic matter, and breaks that down into inorganic chemicals, inorganic nitrogen. Right, that can then be dissolved into water and then the plant can take it up. This is the reason why that we synthetic fertilizers are so fucking effective, is that it's the basic chemical already dissolved right in water. So the plant can just immediately take it up. Now, it can be damaging if you do too much, it can burn the plant, but in general, it's so effective because it's immediately available. You go buy a bottle of bio fertilizer, organic fertilizer, and you put it on your plants, your plant can't just take that up. There are very few organic ingredients that a plant can just intake as is. There's some amino acids, but outside of that, it's pretty much has to be broken down into a basic chemical component and then dissolved into water.
Because if we think about it, the soil biology breaks down the detritus, the leaves, the soil to create these minerals that are available, but it's the rain that comes to liquefy everything so that the plants, like the rain or the water is the like the train that the nutrients take or something up the roots or they hitch a ride on the water.
Yeah, so it works basically via osmosis. So you have the root that is absorbing. Roots don't eat organic matter. They're not breaking down chunks of
yes, exactly,
leaves. They don't have little mouths on them munching stuff up. What they do is the water pressure outside of them is greater. And so it gets absorbed in through the root. And in order for any nutrients to get inside of the plants via the roots, because you can do it via the leaves as well, but any nutrients to get in via the roots, it has to be absorbed in that liquid. Otherwise, it will never get into the root system. It's just going to sit on the outside. So it has to be broken down and dissolved for it to be of any use. But you can use microbes to do that for you. I can put in a whole cucumber or avocado and put that into the soil that has some worms in it. Those worms will process that. The bacteria, the fungi that live in the gut of the worm will grow, and they'll then work in conjunction with that particular plant to create particular colonies of particular bacteria or fungi or protozoa, because the plants start to communicate with the soil biology. So you don't have to know, I need these particular protozoa and this particular fungi to go with my particular Ficus benjamina, right? Like if I know I'm going to put a whole bunch of soil biology into this pot, the plant itself, because of the particular type of plant it is, will exude certain signals, which will attract certain bacteria, which will come to them and then feed. And then those particular bacteria will thrive. Because that particular kind of bacteria thrives, the particular protozoa that eats that bacteria is going to show up and then thrive. And then the particular nematodes that eat that protozoa. So the plant itself ends up with soil biology driving what types of soil biology thrive in that system, particularly in the area right around the root zone. And so you don't have to know all the specifics. You just have to know if I can get good soil biology in there. So how do I do that? I use vermicompost. And I compost a lot of my own stuff that helps break it down. And then I just seed it with a little bit of good soil biology from some good, great natural places that I've been. If you ever outside and you find good soil, just take a little teaspoon, throw it in your compost, and you'll have an amazing array of soil biology. You don't have to worry about, did I get the right ones? The plant will sort that out.
Yeah. So you're growing your own soil, basically. So you have like a tub.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
I haven't bought any sort of soil amendment in quite some time. It's just basically old stuff that I had bought, reused. Any plant that comes in, any of the soil or the potting medium that comes in gets put in through that sort of process, gets re-amended.
Wow. I want to give a disclaimer here that Adam and I have both taken like lots of soil science classes. And so this is like next level nerdy shit. And if you are interested in trying living soil, don't just throw an avocado in a bag of potting mix. Like this, Adam simplified this process, but it's actually it's simple, but for us to do it with houseplants is actually advanced. So go binge Adam's content.
Yeah, it's not necessarily just out of the box. Like you have to tweak some things.
Yeah, there's like a basic knowledge we need. So go binge Adam's videos. Go find your soil science. Like this is that we got your palate wet. We wet your palate for the concept of living soil. But I just don't want anyone to listen to this and like throw an avocado in their houseplant. Be like, why? Everything rotted.
However, it might lead you down that journey of why are there so many fungus gnats all of a sudden? Why do I have so many fungus gnats? How do I get rid of fungus gnats? Oh, I can buy a particular type of, I don't remember what they call them now, like Hypoaspis miles is what they used to be called. It's a type of soil mite. Anyway, this soil mite, little tiny thing. Yeah, but there's a particular soil mite. So a soil biology, again, working with soil biology. So instead of buying a product that comes in a plastic bottle that kills life, you buy more life. Usually comes ideally if you get it from a good source in paper, and then you can compost that paper. So you get something like Hypoaspis miles. Again, they're not called Hypoaspis miles anymore. They've changed the name, but that's still pretty common. So if you search Hypoaspis miles.
Yeah, Google your way to the right answer, plant friends, if you're interested.
But it's a soil mite that basically will feed on the sun. So instead of killing the fungus gnats, I'm increasing the amount of Hypoaspis miles while decreasing the amount of fungus gnats that I have. So using more nature to combat nature as opposed to another plastic bottle item to kill off anything, which is only a temporary fix anyway. You know, finding a homeostasis of it's okay to have a few fungus gnats, but I don't have so many because once they start getting out of control, something in my soil comes along and starts to even that out.
Yeah, it's similar to these, you know, beneficial insects that people release in their homes, like whether they're doing lacewings or ladybugs or that's a whole vibe. That's a whole practice. I have an episode way down my feed on it with Summerine Oaks, who also has a degree in bugs. What is the name of bug degree? Whatever. She has a degree in bugs and she teaches us how to do it. But yeah, so we've wet the palate there. But yeah, it's very interesting. And I will always remember when I took my first soil science class and I learned about how soil works in nature and how much life is in one teaspoon of soil that like we just don't know, don't recognize, don't appreciate, don't understand. It's wild. And then the other thing is too, I think there's a real fake news moment. People call fertilizer plant food, but plants eat light. the fertilizer that we're using are nutrients, which are also required, right? Your plants need those nutrients. And if you're using potting mix, you need to replace it. They're going to suck it out of the potting mix. You got to replace it. But it is very interesting that people think that I would 100% believe that there are people that think that the roots can actually eat without, because why would we not know that? Like, why would we understand any
difference?
I believe
that. I think that's super interesting. This is the reason why I used it as an example. Like, I didn't know. I don't know how they totally
learned. How would we not know? And we don't see. We don't see them.
Maybe they've got little pores that just suck it up. Yeah. But they don't.
Millions of little mouths, little root mouths, just in a way, right? Like, who knows? But yes, that myth is busted. But yeah, that's super interesting. And I think there's a lot there to learn. So if you are interested, go nerd out to your heart-tent plant friends, but know that there's subtlety in this practice and there is some knowledge that you need before you dive into living soil, even though it is very cool.
I do highly recommend you try it.
Worth it. There's a learning curve with houseplants. There's a learning curve with everything. So this is a perfect pivot. So like I said, I drew me to your account and has kept me subscribed. My is like, I don't know, weird shit. It's all restoring old axes and cooking and I don't know. My TikTok feed is wild. And babies and now birds because I'm a bird mom. But I love every time I go to your channel and I watch a couple of your videos, you're always doing a new experiment. You're always trying something. When you and I first connected, you were doing this weird thing where you were like letting water drop on a rock and you were seeing how long it takes for the rock to like grow moss, which was so interesting and successful, as I just found out today as I was looking at your feed. You did get life to sprout there. But like for people who maybe struggle with creativity, especially with plants, I think plants are such a beautiful opportunity for us to like dive back into our inner student, to dive back into that like six-year-old awe that we used to access so easily. And now it's harder as adults. Like, what would you suggest for people who want to use plants as a vehicle to reconnect with that side of themselves?
I think one thing to keep in mind is they're just fucking plants, right? Like, so it's not that. Not that big of a deal.
Oh my God, I love
that. It's not that big of a deal if they die. Now, there's some loss of money, perhaps, if you went out and you bought it. There are great ways to get a lot of plants for free, too. And I think that to me was part of it is like, I just put up this bee bath, right? And part of it is I took a cutting from a ficus that it just was growing. I was like, it's getting big. I could take a branch off, and I cut it and I put it in the soil. I didn't bother to like do anything special. I didn't sanitize my scissors. I didn't put in root hormone or make sure that the sand was the proper. I don't care. I do not care. Turns out it's dying.
Yeah. Fuck sanitizing scissors. Who cares about who's sanitizing their scissors? I feel like every single person is like, before I propagate, sterilize your scissors. Who's sterilizing their scissors?
If you work in an industrial greenhouse, sure. Totally makes sense. You got product on the line. It also comes from a lot of this stuff comes from the cannabis growers, right? So in order for them to get their clones, you got to be really sanitary about, not that you have to be super sanitary, but like the idea is, so that sort of was where a lot of knowledge was spread, particularly early internet days about like plant growing. And there's a lot of energy and science and a lot of bro science too, but sort of actually a lot of bro science behind that, but they were sort of pushing the forefront. This is where I learned a lot of my stuff. And like, again, I had to reverse engineer it for houseplants, but this was like, they were the ones trying a bunch of stuff. Like, what happens if we put the light this far from the plant or this far from the planter? What happens if we feed it XYZ? And so for them, making sure that you had it sanitary, because it was a crop that you had to maximize yields in a minimum space. So you wanted everything to really go very well. And so it became this like, oh, you got to remember, if you're going to take a cutting, you got to sanitize. I'm not like, I don't care if my cuttings die because it's just one of a million and it's just another plant. And either I can go buy a new one, or if I can't, my life's going to still be okay. Right.
I love it.
I don't have Thai basil today and I can't find it in Germany doesn't mean my life's any worse off. You know,
this is why you're one of my favorite content creators. And I feel like that question that I just asked you and your answer is the perfect encapsulation of that. It's like, I'm like, tell me about your feelings. What are your thoughts? Like, how does this work? How do we explore curiosity? And you're like, just fucking do it. Like, like, I love that the simplicity of it is refreshing. And also me as someone who overthinks everyone, as like a deep feeler, as an overthinker, I need you in my life to keep just being like, leave it the fuck alone. Like, it's going to be okay. Because I think as plant parents, we can get really fucking attached to our plants and then really struggle and make it mean something about ourselves. I put a whole chapter in my book on plant death because I know that is something that our community really struggles with. And you can feel like a failure and abandon this hobby because you've killed a plant. And that sucks.
100%. I think it's important that people know the whole reason I even came to this leave it the fuck alone thing was because this is the shit I needed to tell myself, right? It's not like the first time I said I leave it the fuck alone, I didn't have all of those same anxieties. I totally was that plant parent. Why the fuck do I keep killing plants? I'm so bad. I can't learn. Like, oh, I overwatered it again. Like, it's like the 150,000th plant I've overwatered. Mm. Because I can't leave them the fuck alone. I just have to do something. I need to do, like, I'm bored at home and I want to, like, oh, there's a plant. Like, maybe it needs some water. It's looking sad. So it was always just, it was a way to teach myself. And I figure if I go out and I tell other people, like, and of course, now I wanted to make sure that I always backed it up by science, that it wasn't just like my, or if it was my opinion, I stated, hey, this is my opinion. But like, just generally, I had to teach it to learn, right? To be like, chill the fuck out. Like, it is just a plant. I know I'm telling myself that, but actually, it is actually just a fucking plant. It'll be okay.
Yeah. And if you are getting curious, I mean, I love how you talked about you took one pothos in New York City and propagated it a million times. And like, that was your way of experimenting and cultivating that curiosity. But it didn't have to cost you $1 million. Like, you can, you know, if you want to try something, if you want to experiment, don't do it on the $40 philodendron pink princess. Like, do it on a cutting of a plant that you already have and play around with it and give yourself permission to fail. Failure is like so important, I feel like, in life, right?
Absolutely. One of the best places to buy plants like that is at the grocery store. Find the ones that are near dead anyway. It's like $2. I got these two rosemaries behind me. Each one was like $2. They're probably dead already. But the terracotta pot was worth more than the $2. And the rosemary is worth more than $2. So I'm making money even if they don't survive. But if they do, I've learned a little something and I get to practice my pruning skills. And I'm like, okay, well, I can prune them to look more like trees and get better at that tree pruning aspect, right? While I have some culinary herbs.
I see a rosemary bonsai for you. I can totally see that. Bonsai. Sorry, I always pronounce that incorrectly. You know, it's funny. So I just got a bird, Frankie, my baby bird. And it's interesting that I've been a plant parent now for 5 or 6 years. I've employed leave it the fuck alone in my plant collection. I've relaxed, right? I know what I'm doing. I've got my basic plant care down. And it's been so interesting to get this bird home, which is like one step up. First you get a plant, then you get a pet, then you have a baby, which is my motto. I have helicopter parented this bird to the degree, and it's exactly what you said, like, oh my God, I overwatered it again. Or like, I bought a puppy cam for this bird. I watch the bird sleep at night. I am losing my mind over this bird. But it's exactly what I did in my first year of plant parenthood, because you have this heart connection. You get so excited. You can't, and you just, or maybe you're just me and you have an obsessive personality, but it's so interesting. But then also like letting yourself not feel like a failure, letting yourself also patience, like plants teach patience, pets teach patience. I don't know. It's fascinating. Do you have any pets?
Not at the moment.
Plants are your pets.
I imagine I'll actually get a dog this year. I always lived with cats. I think cats are a little bit easier when you're moving a lot, or at least that was sort of the idea I had. And I came to Berlin not expecting to be here. Everywhere I had lived most of my life was for about a year, 6 months, year and a half, whatever. I very rarely did live anywhere for much longer. So when I came to Berlin, I was expecting the same thing, that I was just going to be here for a year or two and then be off onto the next adventure. And now I've been here 8 years. So this is the second longest I've lived anywhere. And finally I'm like, oh, okay, I guess like I probably am not gonna rush off, and I'm old enough that if I do, I can handle whatever I need to sort of take care of. So I figure at this point, working from home all the time, and I'm not in the city center, I'm actually sort of on the outskirts. So I've got a lot of nature around me as well, which is lovely. So easy to go out and go for long walks. And
are the plants in the grocery stores in Berlin or the garden centers in Berlin similar to the ones that you would see in the States? Or is it like a whole different set of tropicals?
It's a lot of the same stuff. There are certainly ones where you, at the big box stores, it's pretty much the same. I do notice there are some things that like we have that you guys don't have, and things that you guys have that we don't have. I can't really tell you what that is though, because I don't really care. I just remember noticing it when sort of plant TikTok was exploding at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, I remember thinking about that, like, oh, I remember that plant. Oh, no, I haven't seen that here. Or like, oh, I never saw that plant. There were people being like, oh, my gosh, like paying $70 for a cutting of whatever it was. And I was like, really? Like, I get that for, you know, $5, like give it 6 months. I don't care so much about the specific types. It's like, does this look cool to me right now or not?
I love that.
With a change of season comes a chance to start something new. Soltech wants you to know March means outdoor activities, gardening, and more sunny days, but not all parts of your home can enjoy the sun's warm rays that are finally coming out after a long winter. And Soltech offers balanced spectrum plant lights that help houseplants grow with a warm white light, allowing you to bring spring into any space. You can have spring and summer indoors year-round with the Soltech grow lights. They have a grow light for any type of home setup that you need. They have a bulb you can simply screw into any existing light that you have in your house. They have a track light system if you have a grow wall or hard to reach plants. They have the stylish pendant light. I have 4 of their aspect pendant lights that I use all over my home. These lights are designed with your home's decor in mind. So these aren't ugly purple red grow lights. No more of that, plant friends. These are luxury grow lights that make your home look like a museum. If your guests walk into your home, they're not going to know that those are grow lights unless you want them to know that they're grow lights. Like I would humble brag about them all the time. These American design products also come with peace of mind because Soltech has a 90-day money-back guarantee as well as a 5-year warranty. These lights come with a 5-year warranty, giving you stylish illumination in each season without stress. Soltech is such a great company. They're run by such great guys. I absolutely love them. I absolutely love their lights. You should try them if you haven't already. Make your plants happy with them. Light up your life with Soltech because better plants deserve better lights. Visit them at soltech.com and get 15% off with code BLOOM1515 at checkout. So that's BLOOM15 at checkout at soltech.com for 15% off a light of your choosing.
So you mentioned TikTok. So can I ask you now as a fan, can I ask you TikTok questions about your account? So you have a very specific voice that you do sometimes in your voiceovers. What's that about?
That is hard. It's hard to keep people's attention. And I'm doing fun stuff that I really like. And I want other people.
It's like slow and really interesting with the bees.
The last one in particular, I needed more time. I realized I had so much footage. I cut that thing down. It was originally like 10 minutes long. And I was like, okay, I got to get this down. And then I got it down to like 8 minutes and then 3 minutes. And I was like, I even put up a version that was like over four minutes long and like nobody watched it. And I was like, okay, re-edited it down to like a minute, but I still like, I had nothing to say. And I sort of wrote out the script and I was like, okay, I was like, no, like, what can I say other than like, this is what a bee garden is. This is my version of it. Here's me making it. So I had to, so it's just like the bees and then really just drawing out my words because I was like, fuck it. Like part of that is like just having fun. Like I was like, well, I need to, whatever. It's a TikTok video. It's like a plant. Like, so if I edit it 4 times and nobody watches it, still, it's not the end of the world. It's one fucking video. Turns out people like this one, but
I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I have a background in theater. And so I think part of that was you always have a bit of voice manipulation depending on what character you're playing. And so it's not really me playing a character, but me understanding that, like, okay, if I'm going to take my time and do a voiceover, how do nice voices sound? They're a little bit lower, a little gravelly. I know how to enunciate words, so I take my time and I say them properly, which also helps people that are not necessarily native. A lot of my audience isn't necessarily native English speakers, so that can be a bit more helpful for them as well. I do also do a lot of TikToks where I just talk really fast and say, fuck it, it doesn't matter. But if I'm going to take my time, might as well take my time.
Yeah. It's a great video, though. And the footage is amazing. And you've got this great voice. You've got this great voice for voiceover, obviously, that people are enjoying on the podcast now. But also, like, sometimes your voice gets a little lower. And, like, I don't know. I fucking love it. I was just wondering. Well, I think your curiosity for plans also, and your flexibility, like, is reflected in your content because it is varied. You also, like, did this really funny. I was like, what is he doing? You were like jogging. You actually like addressed a troll, which was very funny. And you know, you had this guy write an annoying comment. And so you handled it very nicely, though. You were like jogging the whole time. And I was like, what's going on here? But I did. I watched the whole video because I was like, is there an end to the jogging? Like, where are we going with the jogging? I loved it. That was the point. What's he jogging? What's the jogging about? You were getting winded towards the end of it. I was like, is he like, what's happening here? I loved it.
Yeah. And that was the point, is to have people ask that question. Why the fuck is he jogging?
Yeah, I love it. And then you'll have a basically naked video. You were in the shower.
Yeah, I try to do things like that are a bit off and weird to be like, what the fuck is he doing? Like,
so let's talk about clickbait. So how much of your account do you feel like those videos, the naked videos, are those what's going to perform on TikTok? Maybe for any people who are interested in growing their TikTok plant accounts, like, do you think that there's method to that madness?
I don't know. I feel like maybe I was born too late, but maybe if I was born I was born too early. Maybe if I was born later, I wouldn't be this way, though. I love absurdist comedy and absurdist humor. To me, like Christopher Durang, when I found him as a playwright, I was like, this guy gets it. Like, to me, things that just don't quite make sense have always been funny to me. It just seems like we're now at a point in the internet, or at least in TikTok particularly, where absurd is interesting. And I'm okay with that. Because to me, like, I'm okay with that because I like that. It's always been funny to me. I've always found the absurd funny. Like, I like when I see a video and somebody's jogging and I'm like, why the fuck are they doing that? Like, why are they in a back alley where there's a ton of broken glass and yet they're saying a really bizarre poem that doesn't make any... Like, I like the absurdest part of it. So to me, it's a fun part of myself that I get to... Yeah, I like to show off. I like to, all that clickbaity kind of stuff comes from a place of honesty. I'm not doing it just for the clickbait. I'm doing the stuff that I like to do for clickbait.
No, you're so authentic in it. That's what I think is refreshing. It's like so authentic and it is absurdist, but it works. Like what I see on TikTok a lot, you know, I've really tried to like commit to posting on TikTok, whereas I've really only posted on Instagram. I'm not a fan of social. I know I have to do it to promote my podcast. The differences between Instagram and TikTok are so interesting, but TikTok feels just, you have to be chaotic. Like if you want a video to do well, you have to like be walking upstairs and it's like, oh, I forgot I'm recording, but you're obviously recording. Like, but there is this sense of chaos and absurdity, like that trend where everyone was putting seltzer in balsamic vinegar and drinking it and saying it tasted like Coke. I did it. I have a plant account. I did the balsamic Coca-Cola thing and I got so many views.
Does it actually taste like
that?
Was it bullshit?
It didn't taste like Coke to me, but it tasted really good.
Okay.
Because the balsamic vinegar is like sweet enough that it actually tasted really good. But like TikTok is a very interesting place. But I will say there are a lot of plant creators and I found a lot of plant creators on TikTok that the Instagram has never pushed to me. Like, it feels more diverse. It feels diverse in age as well. Like, there's younger kids on TikTok, so you see, like, the new generation of plant parents. I don't know, like, what's your take on the TikTok versus Instagram differences for the plant community, specifically for plant content?
There's two different aspects of my personality. You've got the chaos of TikTok, and Instagram is much more polished in that sense, but those are both still aspects of my personality, right? Like, I do really polished videos and photos and things like that. And sometimes I polish up my life. I get dressed up and I look pretty and I put on nice shoes. And like, there are points in life where we are all dressed to the nines. That's not every day. And then there are days we just roll out of bed and like, don't even brush our teeth. And it's just like, hey, here's what's going on. And both are still me. It's just, I find that you're going to generally find people that are more comfortable with the just rolled out of bed sort of chaos. You're going to find a lot more of that on TikTok. Whereas on Instagram, if you aren't dressed to the nines, you're not getting into the club. So I think about it like going to a club in the States versus a club here in Germany, right? Like if I went to a club in the States, like when I was in St. Louis, if I had holes in my shirt or if I didn't have like, I wouldn't be going in, right? If I go to a club here in Berlin and I don't have holes in my shirt and I don't look like I've been living on the street for 4 days, then I'm also not going to get in, right? So like, it's just, who are you going to see inside of those clubs is going to be different because they're different gatekeepers.
I love that. I've heard people say, put on TikTok what you would put on your Instagram stories. So like if you do an Instagram story, like make that a video on TikTok. You know, it is much more casual, which is definitely liberating. And I definitely like that.
Yeah, it allowed me to explore aspects of my personality or my at least online persona that I wouldn't necessarily like doing things where I'm basically naked. Like I can get away with that if it's sort of funny or.
Yeah. Well, you've got that planty bathroom. Tell us, because that is quite a room.
It's one of the selling points of the apartment for sure. It's south facing windows that I frosted so that it's basically just indirect diffused light all day. And I filled it with these like epiphytic cactuses and they sort of drape down and beautiful light year round, even in winter, short days. But when it's sunny, it's lovely. And so I've just filled it with all these sort of hanging plants. It just gives this really nice sort of jungly vibe. I think that's what everybody in my head, I know this is what I really want. I think everybody in the world really just wants to like walk out of their shower into the jungle.
Yes. Indoor jungle vibes. Do you have a bath? Do you get to take baths in there?
I do. It's a very large bath as well.
Oh, so relaxed. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's a dream.
That's the dream. You're living
really
the dream.
Am. When it comes to bathrooms, it's amazing.
I don't know your experience living in New York City, but my experience living in New York City was that I never had a window bathroom. And so I have been waiting. And actually, I have a beautiful 4-bedroom house now, but I still don't have a window in my bathroom. And we'll time this year. And I'm like, I need a window in my fucking bathroom so I can put a hanging cocos in my bathroom and pretend.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
He's like, you're insane. He's like, okay, makes Maria. Sense to me. But the girls who get it, another TikTok trend. So as we wrap up, any TikTok creators that you love that you want to shout out? Any planty creators? Who are you following? Obviously, let everyone know that you're my favorite TikTok creator. Who are you following?
Oh, gosh. Let's see if I can remember people's actual names. There's lots of them, though. That's the thing. And there's some small creators. Like to me, like I think that it's odd to me that I have such a large following on TikTok compared to so many other plant creators that I think do just as equally good content, but only have like 1,000. But certain creators that I definitely interact with a lot and really respect. I know there's Plant Prof is one. He is a plant professor at a university in Texas, not the University of Texas. Anyway.
I'll find him. I'll put him in the show notes.
Yeah. I wish I could remember their names. Like, I can, how about this? I'll give them to you. You can put them in the description. There's quite a few really good ones worth following.
Yeah, send me your faves and we'll put them in the description for people who might be TikTok novices. But Adam's over there, king of TikTok, king of plant, but also king of creativity. This has been such a fun conversation. If people don't follow you after this conversation, I don't know what they're doing, because you should. So where should people come find you across all socials if they want to take a look at your spheres? Let us know everything.
You choose the social media platform. I'm often there. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Those are the big ones anyway. All Dirty Roots Berlin. If you search Dirty Roots Berlin, I'll show up in all of those. Also have my website, dirtyrootsberlin.com, all one word. And that way, there you can find the Sphere Planter as well as links to some other stuff that I'm doing, some fun stuff. But yeah, so if you're a fan of TikTok, you can find me on TikTok. If you prefer the Instagram, cloud me on Instagram. If you're all into YouTube shorts these days, well, I'm there as well. Yeah. Dirty Roots Berlin.
Amazing. Oh, I got to get on YouTube shorts. I forgot about YouTube shorts until right now. You just reminded me I'm supposed to do that.
I'll tell you, Facebook Reels is actually a thing. Yeah.
Facebook has Reels? Oh my God.
Yeah. I've been posting Facebook Reels recently.
Well, you're the greatest. Can't wait to go continue stalking you on the talk. Go follow Adam. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me. It really was a pleasure.
Thank you, Adam, so much for this conversation. It was so fun. I love Adam. You should go follow him, Dirty Roots Berlin, on socials, TikTok and Instagram. Check out his website. Check out his planters that he makes. He's so cool. There's always something new going on. He's always got a new experiment. You know, when we talked, it was the bee gardens. Before that, it was the drip garden. He's always doing something new. He's so fun. I do feel like now that I've settled into my fifth or sixth year of plant parenthood, really connecting to that creativity and curiosity, specifically the curiosity, I think is what's helping keep this hobby feel fresh and not get really old and stale and boring. So how can you stimulate your curiosity in one way, plant friends, this week? How can you take this episode and just get curious about one aspect of maybe of your houseplants or your garden that you haven't focused on? Let me know. Tag me on Instagram if you share. Shoot me an email. I want to know. Thanks again to our podcast sponsors who support the show. They help me get these weekly episodes out to you. Plant friends, go play with your curiosity and awe this week, especially in March, as, you know, for many of us in the Northern Hemisphere, spring is starting. We're starting to feel the tickles of spring, which is so fabulous after a long winter. Let that inspire you and tickle your senses, tickle your curiosity, and I'll see you next week. So until next time, keep blooming and keep growing.
Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss an episode. We have incredible episodes lined up in 2023, and I don't want you to miss one topic. And while you're subscribing, would you mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so I thank you in advance for helping this podcast reach as many planty earbuds as possible across the globe. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got a ton of free options for you. First, there's the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's so fun. It takes literally 3 minutes to complete. You take the test, you get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you, inspired by your results. The link is in the show notes. Make sure to let me know what your personality is after you take the test. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, check out my website. We've got a bunch of free guides that you can download on topics like understanding natural light, which is actually a 3-day worksheet, and 9 ways to green up your office if you need to bring a little bit of planty joy into your work life. And finally, I want to invite you to join the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet, my online garden society. It's both a web platform and an iOS and Android app. It allows our listeners to get together in an algorithm and troll-free online space to swap plant care tips, humble brag about plant wins, and get support when you have plant fails. We have monthly live planty show and tells on Zoom, which are so fun, and even have a living library of planty book recommendations sourced from our community. You can go to jointhegardensociety.com to grab your membership. And for anything else, plant friend, I am here for you. Feel free to drop me a line whether you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe you're even a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, following me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and tips is always recommended. You can find me across socials at Growing Joy with Maria. Thank you again so much for listening. It is truly my honor and life's delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy, the podcast.